We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the AI Hustle Podcast, the podcast where we break down the latest in AI news, tools, and interview experts helping you hustle and do more using AI. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you'll know that over the last 6 months, I've been working on a stealth AI startup. Of the hundreds of projects I've covered, this is the one that I believe has the greatest potential. So today I'm excited to announce AI Box. AI Box is a no-code AI app building platform paired with the App Store for AI that lets you monetize your AI tools. The platform lets you build apps by linking together AI models like ChatGPT, Midjourney, and 11 Labs. Eventually, we'll integrate with software like Gmail, Trello, and Salesforce, so you can use AI to automate every function in your organization. To get notified when we launch and be one of the first to build on the platform, you can join the waitlist at aibox.ai. The link is in the show notes. We are currently raising a seed round of funding. If you're an investor that is focused on disruptive tech, I'd love to tell you more about the platform. You can reach out to me at jaden@aibox.ai. I'll leave that email in the show notes. Today on the podcast, I want to talk about a company that I believe is going to absolutely revolutionize a specific industry. And I think this use case is very interesting. It's a company called EvaluAgent. It just raised $20 million in a Series A, and they're building a software that essentially evaluates call center agents. Now, something that I think is really interesting about this story and this company is the fact that this is not some just new startup that all of a sudden grabbed a big bag of cash and is going to go and build this product out. This is a company that has already been around in this same industry. They've now tagged on and added AI features. And so, of course, you know, now they're viable for investment. That seems to be what is going on in tech right now. But jokes aside, I do think this is a really powerful use case for AI, ChatGPT specifically, and tech. So today on the podcast, we're going to go over what exactly EvaluAgent does, what they plan on spending this money on, and how they are helping the industry at large. So essentially what this company does, EvaluAgent, is that they are, you know, when you, let's say you call the customer support line of any company and it says, this call is being monitored for quality assurance and training purposes, right? So they are in that quality assurance and training purposes segment because apparently when you get that message, you know, that your call is being recorded, apparently only between 1 and 2% of calls are actually ever evaluated in those call centers. And that is because of a problem with contact center managers being overworked, apparently. And so this is what the co-founders of the company wanted to address specifically. And so essentially what they're doing is they're creating a way for every single call to be essentially monitored and tracked for quality assurance purposes, but it's not being done by a human manager anymore like it used to be. Now it is ChatGPT. So essentially what they're doing is they're feeding in, and technically they say they're platform agnostic, but really this is what they're doing. I almost guarantee they're taking the whole conversation, they're creating a transcript of it, and then they're feeding it into ChatGPT, and they've apparently, I mean, I would, my assumption, and I could be wrong, is that they've created a elaborate prompt that says, hey, based off of, you know, based off of this conversation, what are areas that this customer service representative could improve on? What are areas they did well on? And I'm assuming they probably have some benchmarks that are industry standard, right? Like, were they able to maintain a professional composure? Were they able to help calm the customer down? And a bunch of different things like that, right? So they know what those benchmarks are for their industry. And they've obviously worked that into a prompt where it then gets evaluated. Talking about this specifically, the company CEO said, at the heart, the contact center's role is to serve customers. These customers are human beings and as such are always going to demand a level of service experience. Technology alone won't be able to offer. Our belief is that the greater the employee experience for agents, the greater the customer experience they'll be able to offer. In any case, his company, to begin with, was doing essentially these quality assurance where companies could outsource their quality assurance training to him, where he would go and his company would go and review these calls. And then eventually I think they kind of switched to doing it for kind of larger corporations. And inevitably, when AI started really taking off, they realized the opportunity, the potential there, and they integrated this into their platform and have seen a lot of really big growth and interest based off of that. And to be honest, I actually think this is an incredible use case for AI, ChatGPT specifically. I remember early on talking to a lady that was starting a company and where essentially it would listen to calls and it would gauge customer sentiment. And so, you know, it would give a call center or a company, you know, the customer support people, like a score based on, you know, what the customer sentiment was at the beginning of a call, middle of a call, and by the end of the call. And they would kind of use that to determine how well the agent had done or how well the call center was doing or the company as a whole was doing with their customers. So ChatGPT can do really powerful things like that. But I think that this goes a whole step further where they probably have a whole bunch of criteria that they are judging every call off of. And they're able to give some statistics and analytics on that and give actionable steps for a call center representative, a customer service representative to actually improve, you know, their performance. So Scott, their CEO, also said, "EvaluAgent not only delivers quality assurance, but also provides customers with tools to ensure that evaluators' findings convert to ongoing behavior changes in the agent base. Although the platform represents a complete system of record for contact centers, quality teams." So they have like a little dashboard that they have created. And I think that they have a couple different metrics on here that I can see that they evaluate. One of those would be, you know, your quality score, your quality feedback, your pass rate, your coaching sessions. And then they have like some sort of like reporting trend at the bottom that they are able to track. So Scott also said, "Out of the box, key moments such as customer frustration, repeat contact, and complaint escalation are automatically tagged." This is interesting. I actually do think this is useful. This goes beyond just taking the whole conversation and plugging it in as just plugging it straight into ChatGPT with a prompt and getting a bunch of these metrics out of it based off of, you know, ChatGPT's opinion. I think it is cool that they are tagging essentially a bunch of different external data, right? Like repeat complaints, customer frustration levels. They're able to essentially get a bunch of different pieces of data and feed it in with the transcripts. So like, hey, this is Jeff's fifth time calling about this problem. He's extremely frustrated. And I think that's very fair. I'm assuming this is industry standard for, you know, what they'd be doing manually. So now they're just using AI to do this. But the reason I think this is that in particular is valuable is because, you know, you wouldn't want to give a customer service representative a bad score just because the customer was super angry when maybe it's not their fault because this is, you know, this is the customer's seventh time calling you. So he's super mad. Whereas, you know, your colleague might've done a really great job, but it was just a lady calling for the first time and you got her problem solved right away. So I think this is good because it takes into account a lot of those different variables. It has them tagged and added. I think this is going to be a really powerful platform. It is interesting. So TechCrunch actually wrote an article on this company, and they have an interesting point, which I'll let you decide what your opinion is on this, but this is what TechCrunch said. They said, "One wonders about bias creeping into the algorithms used to evaluate agents' actions. Though, after all, studies have shown that AI is more likely to classify black speech as quote-unquote toxic or offensive, and it's well understood that voice recognition, too, is racially and ethnically biased. So can SmartScore be trusted?" SmartScore is the scoring system that a value agent is using. That is an interesting point to bring up. I would be curious to see the studies on that and I guess what people are doing to mitigate some of those issues if they do in fact exist on a large scale. Scott, apparently the CEO, they asked him about that and he did not elaborate on their measures. He didn't really elaborate on measures, if any, that they're taking to combat bias in the algorithms. The reason I'm laughing, obviously bias in the algorithm isn't funny, The reason I'm laughing is because TechCrunch seems surprised that he didn't respond. I'm assuming the fact he didn't respond means they're not taking any specific measures. So I just think it's funny that, you know, he didn't want to respond to that issue, aka he probably doesn't have a response for that issue. And perhaps it's something that after that conversation he'll look into. I'd be curious. And here's the other thing. You know, when we have, like, for example, TechCrunch talking about how AI is apparently, it classifies black speech as toxic or offensive, I'd be curious to see what the implications of that, because, I mean, okay, AI in general, that seems like a pretty general term. Perhaps ChatGPT does that, or a specific AI model, or some specific AI models trained off of English data sets. Let's say this is an English, you know, problem specifically. I don't believe that this is a problem that could proliferate globally, right? Like, let's say there's an AI model trained off of a whole bunch of content generated in China. I have a hard time believing that, like, AI is implicitly racist or views, you know, black speech as, you know, is toxic. I mean, that could just be me. Like, right, like, let's say you train an AI model off of a whole bunch of content generated off of websites that are super popular in Nigeria. Find it very unlikely that that AI model would classify essentially the speech it's intaking as toxic. So I'm assuming the problem that they're referring to here is maybe that a minority group in America and English-speaking AI model models that we're training are being classified as toxic. Now, another interesting fact with that, or an interesting point, is the fact that a very large amount of the manual human training done by ChatGPT and OpenAI in particular is done in Kenya. So they actually have a lot of people in Kenya. I think it's a majority of their manual reviewers are from Kenya. I'd be very curious to see, you know, what effect that has, if any, on an issue like that, right? Is black speech being classified as toxic or offensive? So yeah, I think it's interesting. There's definitely a lot of issues to grapple with. These AI models aren't perfect. They have a lot of work to go and stuff to be done. But and that is the risk that companies take by integrating them right now into their tech stack. That being said, obviously some really incredible capabilities. And the thing is, these AI models are always getting improved and always getting better. So one can only assume that issues like that will be eventually pulled out of the model and will be fixed. So in any case, I think that EvaluAgent is a really amazing company. I mean, I think the idea is really great. They've raised this additional $20 million. This puts their total at $21 million after the Series A. And I think that there is a really tremendous opportunity right now. Peak Span's Phil Durr, he's the lead investor of the deal that they just did. He says that he sees a tremendous opportunity in the whole quality arena. And I think this is despite the fact that there is a bunch of other companies doing this, right? This is a $35.3 billion space. And apparently there's some other startups, including Invoca, that have some similar features, but not exactly the same, apparently, according to EvaluAgent. And so I think this is interesting. Durr recently said in an email, so he's a lead investor, he said, having spent years studying the category, we believe EvaluAgent is the strongest vendor of quality assurances and performance improvement softwares. The platform shines for small and mid-market contact centers while maintaining the capacity to serve enterprise-level businesses with large contact center operations. So I think this is really interesting. Apparently around 25% of contact centers right now still run their quality assurance programs on spreadsheets, while another portion makes use of different tools. And so contact centers are facing a really new dynamic right now. I think that the opportunity for them to have leaner staff and perhaps fewer on-site agents is going to increase the demand for tools like EvaluAgent. They're able to be more, perhaps there's two options, right? And this is just the AI debate, but perhaps, you know, they could lay off staff and conserve money that way. Or if they're growing, you know, they could just integrate some of these AI technologies and grow their business even bigger. So it'll be interesting to see where the space goes and what some of these issues that we've talked about on the podcast today, if they are able to find solutions for them and how that looks in the future.
If you are looking for an innovative and creative community of people using ChatGPT, you need to join our ChatGPT creators community. I'll drop a link in the description to this podcast. We'd love to see you there, where we share tips and tricks of what is working in ChatGPT. It's a lot easier than a podcast, as you can see screenshots, you can share and comment on things that are currently working. So if this sounds interesting to you, check out the link in the comment. We'd love to have you in the community.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Hustle podcast. If you could do us a massive favor, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. This helps people find the podcast. It helps people know this is a good place to go. And we would really, really appreciate it, as it helps us continue to bring on incredible guests and share incredible content for you to listen to.